Hi, everybody. Can I invite the kids to come back just to the stage here? Because I'm going to need your help with the present, to open that last present in a little bit. Not just yet, but in a little bit. So if you could come by and hang out, that would be great. So I just want to extend a warm welcome to everybody here on our Christmas Eve service. If you're a visitor, you're most welcome to be here. If you're part of the East Frio Church family, welcome back. Just open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on what Christmas truly means, I ask that by the power of your Spirit, that you reveal the truth of who Jesus is to each of us here and draw us into a personal relationship with you. Let the scales fall away from our eyes so that we recognize who he is on a personal level, and that this surprise would stop us in our tracks and change us today. Father, conform my heart to yours, guide the words that I speak. I pray this all in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I've got a question for all of you, especially you kids here, right? Who here likes surprises? Raise your hand if you like surprises. And adults, grown-ups, how many people like surprises? Great, wonderful. Now here's a harder question. Who here likes every surprise? Keep your hand up if you like every surprise. Okay, so a whole bunch of adults have put their hands down there. I thought so. Because here's the thing about surprises. Some are amazing, and some not so much. So imagine these surprises, right? Here's a good surprise. You come home from school, right? And then there's a puppy with a bow on it waiting for you. That's a good surprise. Here's a bad surprise. It's a hot summer's day. Your brother offers you an icy cool cup of cola. You take a sip, but then you gag instantly. It sprays out of your mouth. It's dribbling down your nose. It's actually soda water mixed with soy sauce. Ew, gross. My younger brother actually pranked me with that one. Here's a good surprise. You're at Garden City, right? There's a guess how many jelly beans in the jar competition going on. You take a wild guess, and then somehow you win a humongous jar of jelly beans with 6,467 jelly beans in it. Here's the bad surprise. You start to eat the jelly beans, and you discover that mixed in with the regular jelly beans are those really weird, gross flavors like stinky socks, rotten eggs, canned dog food, or barf. Now, surprises can be wonderful or terrible, but they're always unexpected. They catch us off guard. They make us see things differently than what we thought we would. And Christmas is full of surprises. And I'm not talking about the presents wrapped under your tree. Think about the surprises that we've already heard in today's stories. The first surprise, the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings, wasn't announced to rich or powerful people first. He was announced first to shepherds in the fields. These were just regular people, or you could even say that they were people who were doing it tough. Shh, Talitha, keep it down. The next surprise, the Savior of the world wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a humble stable, wrapped in a small blanket amongst barn animals. Another surprise, God didn't stay far away in heaven. He actually came to earth as a tiny, helpless baby. But here's the biggest surprise of all, and it's the one most people completely miss at Christmas. That baby in a manger grew up and said things about himself and did things that were so surprising, so shocking, so impossible sounding that we have to decide, was this the best surprise ever or the worst claim ever made? And these claims require each of us to sit up and to respond to them in a fresh way. Whether this is your first time at church, or you were born into a Christian family, or whether you've been walking faithfully with the Lord for a long time. Because every Christmas, we sing about a baby in a manger. We put up nativity scenes with baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph. But here's the question we don't ask often enough. Why should we celebrate this one baby's birthday 2,000 years later? And importantly, how has knowing and celebrating this changed us as individuals and as a community? And the answer is surprising, and it changes everything. A famous writer named C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia books, said, "We have to answer an important question about this baby turned man, In fact, C.S. Lewis thought it was the most important question that anyone could ever investigate. You know how in Narnia there are big surprises, like finding out that the wardrobe leads to another world, or that Aslan, the great lion, comes back to life? Well, C.S. Lewis said that Jesus is the biggest surprise in the real world. Because Christmas isn't actually about presents, or Santa, or fancy decorations and lights, or eating nice food, or even family time, though those things can be nice. Christmas points to a celebration about who this baby was prophesied to be and who he actually was. And that's the most surprising thing that you'll ever hear. Let me tell you what this baby said when he grew up. Jesus made claims like, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This is an all-encompassing statement. Jesus is basically saying, "I am the truth of everything." Jesus also made many statements where he claimed to be God, having always existed before even the world or people existed. He said things like, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus also said, "I and the Father are one," basically announcing that he is God. Now that's a surprise. Imagine your teacher or your neighbor or the guy working at Bunnings said those things. You'd be shocked. So C.S. Lewis said there are three doors, three possible explanations for who this Jesus guy really was. And each one is surprising in its own way. Door number one, Jesus was lying. That would be a terrible surprise, like expecting a puppy or a PlayStation and getting socks instead, right? Now, behind this door is a scenario where Jesus knew that he wasn't God, but he said it anyway to become famous, powerful, or important. But here's where this explanation falls apart, and I want you to think about this carefully. Imagine a kid at school starts telling everyone, "Hey, I'm actually a superhero. I have super strength, and I can fly." If this kid is lying, what's he hoping for? Maybe that other kids might think he's cool, that he'll get attention and popularity. Maybe other kids will want to be his friend and give them snacks and treats from their lunchbox. Maybe he might become the most popular kid at school. But what if instead bullies started challenging him and then beat him up to try and prove that he wasn't a superhero? What if the principal expels him for lying, and all his friends abandon him? His family disowns him. And finally, someone says, "Prove you're invincible." And then they kill him to test it. Would anyone keep pretending to be a superhero if that's what happened? Absolutely not. They'd admit the truth immediately. But here's the thing. Jesus kept claiming to be God, even when it led to all those terrible things. People who lie for attention stop when the attention becomes painful. And here's the really shocking thing. Even when he was dying with nails through his hands, he could have said, okay, I admit it, I'm not God, it was all a lie. And they might have let him go. But he never took it back, not once, not even to save his life. That's door number one. Door number two is Jesus was confused. That would be a different kind of surprise. Maybe Jesus honestly believed that he was God, but he was really, really wrong. Sincerely confused, deluded, out of touch with reality. Some people say, well, Jesus was a good person and a great teacher, but he was just confused about the whole "I am God" thing. But here's the surprise. You can't actually say that. Let me explain with an example. Imagine a maths teacher who's really amazing at teaching. He explains everything clearly. He's patient. He's kind. Everyone understands maths better because of him. But then one day, in the middle of the lesson, he says, "Class, I have an important announcement to make. I'm actually a textbook." And he really believes it. He's not joking. Would you think, well, he's confused about being a textbook, but he's a great maths teacher? No, you'd probably think something is seriously wrong with this dude. Can we trust what he says about maths, if he thinks he's a textbook. What do you reckon, kids?
No.
No, yeah, that's right. I didn't think so. If someone is that confused about their own identity, it affects everything else that they say. But here's the surprising thing about Jesus. He said the wisest things people had ever heard. Even his enemies admitted, no one ever spoke like this man. He understood people's thoughts and their hearts. He knew what they were thinking and what they were feeling. He answered trick questions perfectly. Religious leaders often tried to trap Jesus with impossible questions, and he always had the perfect answer. Pharisees, this group of religious people, wanted to stone a woman that they caught doing something wrong. And Jesus said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And of course, one by one, each of those people dropped their stones and they walked away. Now, Jesus' teachings about life, love, forgiveness, how to treat your enemies, how to find peace, still ring true 2,000 years later. Think about people who are confused in their head or deluded. They usually have other problems. They can't hold a conversation. They contradict themselves. They can't handle stress. People don't generally want to follow them. But thousands of people followed Jesus in his day. Smart people, fishermen who knew hard work, tax collectors who knew numbers, even Roman soldiers, people trained to spot deception. So many of these people believed and they followed Jesus. So this door, the confused door, doesn't really fit either. I'd say that's a surprise too. Now this leaves us with the third and the most surprising door of all, and it's the one that C.S. Lewis chose. This is the door where Jesus really is who he said he is. God who came down to earth as a human baby in order to rescue us from our sin. Now that's a plot twist. That's the kind of surprise that changes everything. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "You must make your choice. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something else, or something worse." But don't come up with any kind of, things about how Jesus was a cool guy, a smart teacher, because Jesus didn't give us the option to really see him that way. Jesus made claims that force us to choose. Is he a liar, a lunatic, or God of the universe? And if he is God of the universe, who made everything in existence, if door number three is the correct and the true door, then that's the most wonderful surprise in the history of the world. It forces you to sit up and take notice, to actually make a decision on where you stand about Jesus. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, why should I care about this? Why does a 2,000-year-old surprise matter to me today? Well, because the best surprises aren't just shocking. They're life-changing. Let me explain. Imagine a family hiking in the mountains and a huge snowstorm hits. They're trapped, they're lost, freezing, and running out of food. They've tried everything to find their way out, but every path leads to a dead end. They're starting to lose hope. Then suddenly they hear a helicopter overhead. A rescue worker drops a ladder down and says, "We found you. We've been searching for you. Climb up this ladder. This helicopter will take you home. You're safe now." Now that message doesn't just make them feel good for a minute. It changes everything. They go from feeling hopeless to hopeful. From lost to found. From thinking we might not make it to we're going home. The rescue doesn't just give them nice feelings, it literally saves their lives and changes their future. And that's what Jesus does. We're all lost in different ways, lost in our mistakes, our guilt, our fear, our emptiness. We try to find our own way out, but we keep hitting dead ends. But Jesus comes and says, I found you. I've been searching for you. Follow me. I know the way home. That first Christmas was when the rescue mission began. Jesus entered the snowstorm to find us and to bring us home. Here's one last example. Imagine getting a super complicated Lego set for Christmas. Like with 3,000 pieces in this Lego set, right? It's got motors, lights, moving parts, super advanced. You get the box, you dump out all the pieces, and you think, I got this. I don't need no instructions. So you start building based on what you think it should look like. You work for hours, and then you end up with something. It kind of looks okay, but it doesn't work right. The motors don't connect. The pieces don't quite fit, and you're frustrated. Then somebody says, hey, did you see this? They pull out the instruction manual that you ignored. You open it up, and you realize, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. That's how the pieces connect. When you follow the instructions, suddenly everything fits perfectly. It looks amazing. It actually works the way it's supposed to. You're not frustrated anymore. You're enjoying it. The instructions don't make it boring. They make it work. And that's what Jesus is like. God created us. He's the designer. And Jesus came to show us the instruction manual of life. So many of us try to build our lives without God's instructions. We guess at what will make us happy. We try and do things that look good but don't actually work. We end up frustrated with pieces that don't quite seem to fit. But Jesus says, hey, I'm the one who made you. Let me show you how you're designed to work. Follow my instructions. And when we do, life starts working the way it's supposed to be. Relationships get better. We find real purpose. We have peace even in hard times. And the pieces start fitting together. Christmas is a celebration of when the designer came personally to hand us the instruction manual. And he said, here, let me show you how this works. The question is, are you building your life on his instructions, or are you still guessing? Because the instructions changes everything. Now, kids, you've been waiting so patiently. I think it's a good time to unwrap that last surprise and present. You guys want to do that? What's in there? Can you hold it up? Hold it up. Thanks, Talitha. What is it?
Crown.
It's a crown. And what do you think it represents? What does the crown represent about Jesus? Anyone want to have a guess? Jesus is the king. Yes. So if Jesus really is the king of the universe and the God of everything, then Christmas means some important things. Firstly, that God loves you personally, so much that he came down to be born on this earth as a baby for you, to save you from your sins. He knows your name, your thoughts, your fears, your dreams. You're not an accident. You were designed on purpose. Secondly, if we consider that Jesus really is God, then all of your biggest life questions have answers. Why am I here? God made you for a specific purpose. Does my life matter? Yes, enough that God became human for you. What happens when I die? Jesus defeated death. So if you follow him, you get to live forever. Why do bad things happen? Jesus doesn't just explain suffering. He entered into it with us. Thirdly, because Jesus really is God, you're not alone in your struggles. He gets you. He empathizes with you so deeply. All the things you've struggled with and all that you'll encounter in your life, Jesus has been there, and he'll continue to be there. Jesus experienced temptation, betrayal, loneliness, pain, and grief. And he promises to be with you through everything. He's defeated all those challenges, and he promises to deliver you from them and bring you to a place of everlasting joy, love, and peace. Will you accept his gift? So here's my challenge to you this Christmas. Don't just celebrate with presents. Celebrate the present. God himself, who loved you enough to become a baby in a manger. Perhaps you've been following Jesus for a while and you're sitting there thinking, hey, Joel, I already know all this stuff. I'm good with Jesus. You're preaching to the converted. But my challenge to you is this. Don't just believe Jesus is God in your head. Follow him with your hands, with your feet, with your words, with your choices. And maybe you find yourself thinking, I believe in Jesus, but I don't really talk to him through prayer, and I rarely read the Bible. Or maybe you think, I believe Jesus is God, but I ignore what he says when it's inconvenient. Or even, I believe Christmas is about Jesus, but honestly, I'm way more excited about the presents. And if this is you, it's okay to admit it. This Christmas is the perfect time for another surprise. The surprise of what happens when you actually start following Jesus for real. Now, maybe this is your first time in church. Perhaps you're not sure about what you think about Jesus. That's okay. God's not surprised that you're here. He may have brought you here tonight because he wants to surprise you with his love. And here's the truth. You don't need to clean up your life first. Jesus invites you to come as you are, because he will transform you as you walk with him. Live like the surprise is true, because if it is, and I believe that it is, then everything is different now. Which door will you choose? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the gift of your Son Jesus into our world. Thank you for the light that shines in the darkness, for the promise fulfilled, for the gift of a Savior. Help us to receive him with joy tonight and to walk in his peace, whether we know him already or have yet to encounter him. I pray that you will draw each and every person here today closer to you through Jesus. Transform our life with the surprise of who you really are. I pray this all in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.